Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. As ever, I'm here with the sickest man on Instagram. It's Sam Hammond, aka Vom Cruise. How are you, Sam?
Feeling really sick and very. But I'm always feeling.
You're swaying, so you're moving in and out of the microphone.
I'm dancing for you here. Yeah, what I'm doing.
Just keep your dulcet tones right in the microphone.
Yeah, how have you been? I feel really good today, actually. I'm just trying to counter the usual. You complained last time that I always say I'm like, miserable cunt. But yeah, I feel...
It is on brand, though.
Yeah, but I feel quite positive today. I don't know, there's a spring in my step. I think it's all the cocaine I did on the way here.
There is that. And we're recording just after Prince Philip's death, and you had a very busy time on your Instagram account after that. It was like... dream for you.
It was you went to town on that, lad. Honestly, like, I couldn't believe the thick and fast. It was like, you know, Buckingham Palace have prepared ahead of time. And
yeah, the obituaries.
That day, I didn't have time to do it. I was like, I've got a lot of stuff on, and I didn't have time for the old cunt to die. And then he died. And then he died. I was like, you selfish prick.
A real insight for our audience on how Vom Cruise's life works. You heard his voice there already, though, so I'll introduce our guest. It is actor Ryan Sampson. How are you, Ryan?
I'm smashing, thanks.
Smashing?
Yeah.
I feel like you were smashing worried that if you said anything else, I'd say that, like I said to Sam, that he's always miserable.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm just still reeling from him saying this is him on a good day with a spring in his step. I mean, yeah. He looks absolutely morose.
Yeah, that's just the way.
Brand.
Ryan, thank you for coming on. How is your, we're kind of early April. Mm. The pubs have just opened for outdoor stuff. Mm. How has your year been? Have you managed to survive it?
Horrible. It's been awful. Yeah, it's been really. I've been working for. I did a job that was meant to take 4.5 months, but then took 7 months because of coronavirus. And people were like, well, you were away in Manchester. It's brilliant. You were working. And that side of it was really good. It was filming Brassic, the third series. Mm-hmm. And
Sky One, I believe.
Exciting. Sky One.
Yeah, thank good plug.
You're helping me out there a little bit. Doing a job in a city away from the people that you are generally hanging around with in a pandemic has just been like next level nightmare stations for me. I just feel like I don't know. I don't know who I am if I'm not in relation to the people who I'm always around. Do you know what I mean?
Manchester's only really good as well when the pubs are open, because otherwise it's the best night out you'll have, but none of that's there. All it is just like a swamp. It just rains every day.
Yeah, it rains every day. It's all made of concrete, because we're in the centre of town, which is meant to be just like so much fun, and there's everything on your doorstep. But then when everything closes down and you can't see a scrap of grass for a mile outside, and then I broke my foot, so I couldn't get out of the flat that I was staying in. So I was just like hobbling around this tiny little room, like I was in a sort of prison. I went proper sort of prison mentality.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
Went full Tom Hanks in Castaway. You started talking to the volleyball.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Christ.
I mean, it was my Alexa, so it did a bit of talking back, but nothing of Jesus.
Substance. do you think it added to the performance in Brassic? Or?
Well, I tell you what's going to be interesting is watching how they've cropped out my leg when I have got that big cast on me. Yeah. Like, at one point, there's a bin just randomly appears in front of me. Quite a lot of scenes, everyone leaves me behind, and then I just appear in the next place that they're walking to.
How did you break your foot?
We throughout filming, we did like a fight scene on a boat, and we did like this bit where we're chasing after a bull. All these kind of like exciting bits, and then I stood up in my kitchen and it just snapped.
Oh, God.
So that's like a kind of slightly less sexy version of when Tom Cruise did that stunt in Mission Impossible and broke his leg. And you did lots of brassic stunts, but then just stood up in your kitchen and snapped
the
toe.
It was quite an exciting stunt that I did. I'd obviously had a good idea or something at the time. And then, you know.
Do you stand up when you've got an idea?
Oh,
yeah.
I wouldn't.
Ryan's light bulb moment is just a standing up.
Talking of brassic, though, funnily, Joe Gilgan, who obviously is a mutual friend of ours, but he's a childhood friend of mine, and this is a podcast about death, and I actually nearly killed Joe once.
Oh, yeah.
Who's Joe? Does he...
What's... Joe writes and stars in brassic.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we were about 17, I used to have a Bedford Rascal van. All my mates used to pile in the back of it, and we got really, really stoned one day, and we decided we wanted to go to Liverpool to this skate park. And we all piled in. I had, you know, too many people in the back, no seats in the
you
back.
You did have your driving license,
though,
at this point.
Yeah, I had a driving license. Mm. But I was flying down this road, slammed into the side of a woman in a Land Rover. We spun off the road, went through a fence, down like a ditch, hit a tree where there's a big cliff edge, windscreen shattered, basically nearly killed all my friends. So, yeah, don't get stoned and drive when you're 17. But Joe was in that accident, actually. So
I've heard that from him from the other end of things.
Yeah. And there was some cunt driver.
Yeah, shut up, Joe. Like,
no, that was me.
Going off on a tangent, it's not true, but actually it's been substantiated. That's brilliant.
I was watching Brassic when it came out, and there's a scene where a Bedford Rascal goes into a field, I think, isn't there?
Yeah. Bedford Rascal's featured heavily, so you actually contributed quite a bit.
I know, I'm going to ask him for some royalties.
Do you inspire one of the main characters in Brassic, I wonder?
I don't think I do, but I think a bunch of the characters are inspired by some of our mates that we grew up with. Yeah, I don't have a character in it, but there's some names in there that are based on my mates' names and Joe's mates' names.
Right.
But yeah, there's a loosely based on adventures that we got up to when we were wankers. Yeah.
Naughty little boys.
Yeah, and you've also got a Citroen 2CV in there, and I had a Citroen 2CV. As well, so he's all the car stuff come from me. Joe owes me at least 100 quid for this.
I've never heard you talk about cars once.
No, well,
you're somebody's inspiration.
Well, you know, I'm a man of mystery.
Ryan, we should bring it back to the subject at heart. So I like to ask this question: what is your funeral experience?
This is not going to be a fun. This is not going to be a fun note for a podcast. But
you can make it fun. You can. It's purposely vague.
I've had quite a few family members. I lost my mum a few years ago, and so that's like the significant tentpole funeral moment of mine. Which is obviously like about as bad as it gets.
Yeah,
and I've got a sort of strange thing now where, like, when I think back to it, I have like big chunks that are really vivid and then chunks that are completely missing because I was sort of in a fugue state, I think they call it, when you're sort of a bit absent.
I think that's just like a coping mechanism, isn't it?
I think I had this weird thing where I can remember being really excitable and like happy to like show people around in a way that was like really not fitting for the fact that like you've lost your mum and you're at her funeral, and I was sort of like weirdly determined to kind of put on a sort of show, you know what I mean? It must have been really strange for anyone talking to me at that point. Like, I
think what you say about that state is really interesting, though, because of stuff like one of the reasons the police really went for Amanda Knox after the Meredith Kircher murder was because of the way she was reacting the next day with her boyfriend around the murder scene, and they were kissing each other and whatever, putting on a show. And I think it just proves really that you don't know how anyone is going to react to something appalling.
It's never quite what you'd imagine it should be, sort of.
Okay, so I think, by my reckoning, you are our second guest to have mentioned their mother having died. We had the artist David Schillinglaw on early in the first series, and he told an amazing story about how she died at a surprise birthday party for her.
No, it was her retirement party.
Oh, sorry, her retirement party. And then, so it happened like on stage while she was giving a speech, am I right?
I think she'd just done a speech and everyone who loved her was there, colleagues, her family and friends.
Amazing.
And then she had a heart problem and died in front of them all.
My boyfriend, his nan, who was this like ebullient kind of like big French woman. She died. She really loved the sea, and her husband died, and they went on this like her and a friend go on this amazing holiday, and she swims out into the sea, and she's there doing the backstroke. And at some point, her friend goes, "She's been out there for fucking ages, but I can see her anyway." And then notices that she's banging into on her back. She's banging into one of the boys at sea, and they realise that she's dead. But you just think, you can't be. That's phenomenal. Yeah. Like, what a way to go, like, looking at the sky while you're floating and you see it floating on your back and see it. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, what's your dream way of going, Sam?
I mean, I don't really like the modern world, so in a few years I'm just going to take myself to the bottom of the garden with a shotgun and
like
a
Raoul
bottle of whiskey. No, I'm not really, because my mum would be upset. But I don't know. I would like to go in a spectacular fashion. You know, then at least you get in the papers, people remember you for nothing too embarrassing, but I don't know, it'd be good to go in, out in a ball of flames some way.
Yeah, I'd like to explode on a punchline. I'd like to say something really funny and then just pause for effect, and then my heart bursts, and then
that happened to Tommy Cooper, didn't it? Is it not Tommy Cooper who died on stage?
Wasn't it like the curtains came down and
he collapsed, and then the curtain came down and everyone pissed themselves laughing. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Tommy Cooper.
Yeah,
I mean, that is a good way to go.
You used to always hear about spontaneous combustion. You'd be like, this woman in France just exploded. Never hear about it anymore, do you? So I don't know.
Fallen out of favour.
Yeah. What's happened? Is it our diets have changed? Because that is an amazing way to go. If you've had a good life and then you just, you know, wandering through IKEA and you just fucking explode.
Take out a few blue bookcases on your way.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
But now, I love that our diets have changed, so now we're getting enough selenium and no one's combusting anymore.
Wait, because that really resonates with me, because I remember knowing what spontaneous combustion meant really young, and that term being used a lot. But I don't remember it being attributed to people just blowing up randomly.
They spontaneously combust.
But I thought it was things that spontaneously combusted rather than people Is that a thing?
It's a buildup of gases, I think.
You don't know if it's a bit apocryphal or not. He's selling it to you as if it's not a hard and fast truth, but I think this is very much like on the forums.
I'm definitely going to Google
it. It was
one
of those things. The only things you talked about when we were kids was quicksand, which also is
quicksand is
worried about.
Very
quicksand
scary.
Is like, fucking hell, that's going to happen to at least 10 of us. Be careful. Yeah. It's never happened to anyone in the...
Sharks
and spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then the internet arrived and it just sort of dispelled all these common myths.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to explode. you know, once I've had a good life and stuff, but
if you could explode during a recording of this podcast and we had it on video, that would maybe help push us, amplify us to a greater audience.
Big on YouTube.
Are you videoing it?
We're not, no. So you've had quite a lot of funerals. We haven't actually had a lot of guests who've been, we've had quite a few guests who are just like, I haven't been to that many funerals. So you've had to experience it quite a lot. The reason this podcast came about is because I have fantasized probably more than I should about what my own funeral would look like. So is that a thought that you've ever really had?
No, but I do like to say to people, what do you have a secret inkling of how you think you're going to die? Mm. And you realise that most people don't want to admit it, and they do. Like, most people, it preys on their mind quite a bit. Mm. And I wonder, through some sort of cosmic attraction thing, if you put that into place, really. It scares people, but like, do you feel like you have an idea about how...
I think I don't know, I've not lived the healthiest life.
Yeah.
Abused myself various ways. It's going to be one of the organ failures or a cancer. I am vegan and I've been a vegetarian my whole life, so I hope that counts as something.
Mitigates it a little bit,
but yeah, I think I've probably got the heart of like an 80-year-old, so I might have like 5 years left. So we'll see.
But presumably that stuff can, if you just lay off it for a bit, it gets better. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, but
your heart walls just get thinner and thinner, and that's it.
I don't know. Heart stuff seemed pretty rubbish. You used to be able to get a pig's one, didn't you?
Remember
that there was like a kids' TV show with a little girl who got a pig's heart?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Pig Girl or something.
I don't remember that.
That must have been a difficult pitch.
Unless it was the Queen's nose the raccoons.
The Queen's nose wasn't about a transplant.
Do you remember, was she called Melody in the Queen's nose?
Harmony.
No, the big sister, the fit one.
Oh, really?
I was really in love with the big one, the older one.
I don't remember
the big sister.
I remember that, and then the other thing I'm just remembering now is the Sammy ad, five children in it. Do you remember that?
That was shit. Yeah, it looked rubbish, that thing, didn't it? That was my nickname at school, primary school, the Sam
Yard. Yeah. Of course.
Like, nice one, guys.
You know how you fancied that girl from, what's she called?
The Queen's Nose.
The Queen's Nose, right. So I've noticed that. Do you feel like your tastes in who you fancy in adult life have been shaped by the people on TV of that age? Because yeah. I have noticed that mine basically boil down to, like, it's fucking like Zach from Saved by the Bell. Mixed with a bit of Screech from the Saved by the Bell.
God
know.
Rest his soul.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Screech he died a few died, weeks yeah. ago, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, that's him off the book.
Good, yeah, good content for this podcast, but yeah. sorry for
that. A mixture of Zach and Screech. That's good. So you're going for like the humour and the good looks and the charm. Mm. Also, yeah. Zach could do that thing, which was never explained because it was just some kids going to school, but he could go, time out, and everyone in the room froze.
Yeah.
And then he could talk to the camera. Which was really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But we
yeah.
all just went, yeah, nice one. He can stop time.
Sense. Yeah, breaking the fourth wall.
And actually, now if we watch that back, they must have all been like wobbling a bit in the background trying to put, because they didn't technology in there.
They must have been. Yeah. That's true. And then, of course, Screech went off and did a porn film just to bring it back to porn, as I like to.
With a fake dick.
Was it
a fake dick?
With
yeah,
a fake
he
dick.
Had a fake dick. Suppose this came out when after he died that, yeah, all the porn, he had a fake, like a weird fake dick.
Plastic one, or like someone else's that was.
I think it was like a plastic one that was like over the top of his dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. yeah. Which I don't know where you get them from, but I'm going to get one.
And then he did Celebrity Big Brother, I think, after that.
I was once in a... I signed up for this hotel chain that's got this like fancy sort of sauna underneath it because I just felt like I was on my last legs, and so I was going of a week to this kind of really ritzy spa thing, right. and just slowly coming to sort of resent it more and more, and noticing the tribes of people who come through because obviously they're not the same people because they're at a hotel, and there was this one guy who started coming who is like he was like maybe 70 and quite like skinny fat sort of thing. Like saggy older dude, but had clearly bought a rubber knob to put down his so that he could like sidle up to people and just casually chat to them. But he'd gone in retrospect for one size bigger than plausible,
right?
Which is it's always a temptation, I suppose.
Yeah, George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley used to do the same stuff with shuttlecocks when they were in Wham, didn't they?
Were they shuttlecocks?
Tight shorts and shuttlecocks down their pants. Yeah,
yeah.
If you check out all the videos.
I mean, that's...
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not suggesting that shuttlecocks are one size too big, but yeah, they were famous for it.
Very rigid outline.
So, how long were you spending in this sauna to see people come in and out and in and out and in and out
at the time? And I was like, I'd go like twice a week, and you know, like something that starts off really like a treat that's really luxurious, and then next week you're like, and it's regrouting.
Yeah,
a bit like oh, it's a bit too warm actually in here, isn't it? And before I was just for a long I was livid, just like staring at these like poor Japanese tourists. It was like I was always like crouched in the corner.
Yeah,
wouldn't like buy one of the drinks or anything.
I feel like you brought up that subject of people wishing their own way of dying on themselves. That in the way you brought it up, that maybe you've thought about how you might die then. Or how you'd like to die, if you could wish it upon yourself.
I'm just a generally terrified man. I've managed to normally cultivate an air of not being terrified all the time, but I am quite often terrified about something. So I feel like I'm like harassed with these ideas of I'm going to die quite regularly. But it's definitely not going to be, for example, anything you can put sort of factors in place again. So now, like watching me cross the road, it's a real system it's got in place. Like,
oh, really?
We're doing a lot of left and right looking. Yeah,
so
yeah,
obsessive compulsive not dying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it will be something shit like similar, like my heart burst because I've just taken those drugs or whatever. You know.
It's yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It would be kind of disappointing, I think, if your heart or organ is going to fail because of drugs, for it not to happen whilst you're on drugs.
Yeah.
It's almost a reason to just be on drugs all the time.
Guy, what's he called from The Who, the bass player, John Entwistle? He was like 75 and he died high on coke whilst inside a prostitute. Like mid shag, you know, I mean, which is... If he's your dad or your granddad, you know, you probably put up with a lot of shit, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, why do you have to die inside a prostitute?
But that's also...
sex workers. Sex workers. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, sex
she
workers.
She has to be quite specific with her rundown of when and how he died, because she didn't go, we made love, and then he died.
No.
She's really hit the nail.
Well, I believe she had to call the fire because she couldn't get him off her.
Oh, he was
rigor mortis,
and she was underneath him, and he was inside of her, and she was probably a smaller lady, and he was a big old fat man, and she had to call the fire brigade.
That would be so traumatic that I couldn't go back to sex work if that happened to me.
No.
No, but also
give it another lockdown and you'll be back in.
Also, my instinct straight away was to think, now, based on what I've seen in films and television, just my caveat there, do you pay the sex worker before or after? Had she got her payment? That's what I'm wondering.
I imagine
did she have to go rifling through his jeans?
Well, hopefully she did anyway, just for you'd want to extra money for being died on. But I imagine you pay up front. Otherwise, you could just run off. Yeah,
after that.
That's what happened with Sam Cooke, the singer, wasn't it? I think he was entertaining a sex worker, and she he tried not to pay her. Tried not to pay her, and
we're being very politically correct today.
Yeah.
So I'm trying so hard, he tried not to pay her because he's being a cunt, and she stole some of his stuff when he was in the shower and ran off, and then he ran after her, and then the motel lady shot him dead because to protect this lady.
So
pay your sex workers up front.
Damn right, pay them up front
and entertain them if you can. Entertain a sex worker.
If you're Sam Cooke, you're gonna
get a prawn,
darling. You'd be like, can I pay you by just singing a song? If I'm Sam Cooke.
Yeah. I actually know quite a lot of people who'd pay a sex worker to stay behind so they could just play them songs, play them their own
test
songs.
Some material.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to a sex worker once. A girl who used to be one, and she said there was this one guy who used to just pay her to go and just sit with him and like just hang out and listen to tunes. Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to have sex with you.
I
think he used to date a guy who subsequently became a sex worker.
Yeah.
And he said he had two people who wanted to lick his legs, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, can you get me their numbers? Because they can lick my legs all day long.
I don't know, they just want to indiscriminately lick anyone's legs. They want something about him.
What's wrong with my legs?
I haven't seen your legs, bro. I'm just casting aspersions.
If anyone out there wants to lick my legs, honestly, right now I'll do it for about £7.50. You can lick my
legs. Don't know if I brought this up in this podcast before, but I once got myself into a bit of an issue having replied to an advert looking for people for a scientific experiment around tickling.
Oh, that's the.
Have you seen the documentary?
Have you seen that documentary? It's amazing.
It's amazing, really? Right? This was about 5 years before the documentary came out, or before I became aware of the documentary. But it was during one of those periods I used to do stand up. In fact, I've started doing it again, but it was during a period where I was doing stand up, and therefore I would basically at that point do anything for £100. Yeah. So I saw this advert saying looking for people to be tickled for a scientific experiment. And I answered it and spoke to the guy. And he was like, yeah.
Jimmy Savile.
And obviously I asked all the questions like, I don't have to be naked, do I? He's like, no, absolutely not. You just have to take your top off and you can keep your trousers on or wear some shorts. And he was like, okay. So he said, turn up to... Now, my recollection of this is it was definitely a hotel down by the South Bank. And it's like where the Savoy is, but it wasn't the Savoy. Somewhere down there, one of the hotels down there. I think there's maybe a Hilton down there. And I met him in the lobby. And...
Is this Harvey Weinstein?
This is where it's like, obviously, I'm already looking like a fucking idiot here, but it becomes more idiotic as then he's like, okay, follow me. And I follow him into the lift, and it still doesn't cross my mind that this is going to be anything other than what he said, but why didn't it? And we walk up along a hotel hallway, and the time where it really hits me is when I walk into the hotel room and it's just a bed and a video camera in the corner. And he's like, okay, you can use the bathroom to take your clothes off now if you like. And I ran into the bathroom and then had possibly my biggest ever freak out, because I thought it's very possible that when I open this bathroom door, he's going to donk me on the head with something and knock me out. So I was like,
did your cape physically like it could overpower you?
Not that I remember. I've got to be honest. Not that I remember, but it certainly didn't cross my mind that he couldn't. Do you know what I mean? So I'm in that bathroom and I'm panicking and I start trying to call people and there's no signal on my phone.
No.
And in the end, I just decided to like make a run for it and like kind of in one movement, open the door and run out and shout like,
fuck off.
I'm getting out of here or whatever. Yeah. But I've always known that's the famous within my family and friends, the Tickle Hotel story. And then about 5 years later, heard about that documentary. Yeah. And it turns out there's a huge network starting at this top guy in America where he would feed down like a pyramid scheme of people being paid to get videos of people being tickled so that he could wank over them.
Really? But then wasn't there some sort of blackmail element to it? Like
he
had these videos of people that he would use as leverage to kind of control them. I just sort of think if I'm quite ready for the idea that at some point some sort of like incriminating videos or whatever are going to come out of me, about me, and I just feel like you've got to just be like open and fine about that, really. I don't think I'd be really too... Embarrassed, really.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's just being tickled by a random man. Who cares?
Oh, yeah. Least of all.
Some of the reasons, if I remember in the documentary, some of the reasons they would call it like competitive tickling, as if it was competition.
It's definitely got to be sexual, isn't it?
No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, when I walked into that hotel room, there was nothing more sexual that I could have ever thought of than what would have happened next, which would have been me being lying on a bed, him starting to tickle me on camera. And then, of course, as soon as I'd left the room, he was going to wank over it.
I think tickling Surely. Should be probably banned now after COVID anyway, you know.
Or it should become an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
One or the other.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, definitely. So you've not given much thought to your own funeral. If you wouldn't mind for 1 minute, give us an idea. If it was your decision as to what you would do for your funeral, obviously, that you've made before you died. What kind of funeral would you like it to be? How would you like it to look? Who's there? Who's not? And then we can move on to the more important bit, which is the wake.
Well, I have had a few... I'm sort of a bit reluctant to tell you, actually, because they're, like, in my head, secrets of, like, how I'm going to have it play out sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin it for my friends.
Okay. Well, you can definitely lie.
Hopefully it'll be a long enough time they'll forget about
it. Yeah, to be honest, they're probably not going to hear this.
Yeah. So one thing is, I want to have it to be as like traditional and mundane and sad as possible, and then for me to put a screen to kind of slowly come down with me pre-recorded on it, and as they're in the throes of grief, to be maybe like you know, she's so lucky, she is a star. I just feel like something that really kind of upsets it, and also to have it just feels like brilliantly egotistical to have like a whole speech from yourself at your own funeral, really just like reveling in how great you were.
Definitely. Yeah. That's quite a common theme with the more performery guests we've had, for sure.
That's great.
That kind of stuff. I think it's brilliant,
But if you're living your life in fear of like being run over and all those things, as you explained earlier, you should probably get that recorded soon.
It's on my to-do list, really. But then that, you know, like the one thing begets the other. I'm concerned that might set off a chain of events.
You never know, do you? You don't want to tempt
It just that. Really made me laugh that sounds like, actually, mate, maybe you should get this done soon, because who knows what's going to happen before you leave this room.
Yeah.
We can film it after this recording if you want.
I've got the studio time, but it's just that.
Well, as you've already heard, I'll do anything for 100 quid. If you need any like sound recording doing or video for this very important part of your life, we'll happily knock it off in the next half hour.
Tickle anyone for the last time.
Yeah.
We had someone, I think, who suggested, or maybe this is a video clip I've seen, them shouting things from a recorder that's in their coffin.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm still down here. I'm into any of that kind of performance-based stuff.
Yeah.
And what about the wake? Do you want to lay on a free bar? Is it going to be a big party?
I just feel like the amount of hosting I've done in my life, I don't see why I should like extend it into after I'm dead. Also, that does feel like it's taking the piss a little bit because I'm not getting anything out of it. But I would like it to be. So the other way you go with it is you have it like proper pagan, you know, like slightly Cornwall vibes. Like there's a lot of fire and a lot of like people smudged with ash smoke kind of shouting things into the night. I'd quite enjoy that sort of vibe.
Yeah.
You could have an evening wake. I mean, no one's actually done an evening funeral. They're always in the day, aren't they? You could do like a funeral late at night.
Have we not had a nightclub funeral yet? No, I don't think we have.
I feel like the way that things are going, there's not no one's in 50 years time, whatever, no one's going to be having like full-on formal funerals. Everywhere's burned to the ground anyway. We're all going to be like living kind of by our means sort of thing. So I just feel like I might as well embrace that and have this dystopian future funeral where it starts at, you know, midnight and goes on till it goes right through till the sun comes up. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a lovely little.
Will it be like, you mentioned pagan, will that just be in sort of aesthetic, or will there be some rituals or some
sacrifice?
I mean, it's mainly going to be aesthetics because I don't know shit about paganism, but
you can make it up.
I'm 100% going to make it up. And there's going to be like some sort of smearing of blood on your wrists or something. Yeah. And like, and sort of vague Latin phrases like the people got like 5 years ago on a t-shirt. So,
that sounds great. That. Can I come if I'm still alive?
There's no chance you're still going to be alive at this point by the sounds of things.
Well, you know, yeah.
Ryan's very sure he's going to outlive
you. You don't know.
The video on the screen is me licking your legs.
Right. My corpse's legs.
And what we like to ask and use this as the title of our episodes. Mm. Have you given any thought, or can you quickly give some thought to what you'd like written on your headstone, your gravestone?
If you want one. You might not want a gravestone.
Yeah.
Again, because I'm thinking future-proofing this, basically, I feel like it's just going to be whatever's to hand, isn't it, really? It's going to be like
Auto glass replace.
It's going to be just like a sort of a disused hummus tub, and so I'll end up being called like whatever. I'll end up having on it whatever's on that sort of thing.
I like how you agree with me. People are always calling me a miser for saying like everything's fucked, and you know I do my recycling, I do my bit, I'm a vegan, but at the same time I'm always like, what's the fucking point? The world's going to end, we're going to destroy it, and everyone calls me a miser. But you agree with me that we're going to be living in Mad Max times within a few years.
I don't think like what's the point. I think like the point is just to make the most of it, but it is 100% like, look into this, like
we're fucked.
Like London is underwater in 40 years. I've got a friend who is a climate researcher at a really high level, and he's Mexican. I don't know if I could do his accent or not. He's like I'm so excited because I am moving to Germany for a new job, and I am gonna be a first class citizen. First class citizen. Was like, I don't think you mean a first class citizen. You mean like a first world citizen. And he goes, no, first class, because these are the places that are protected for when the floods are happening. Right. I'm like, oh, that is just.
Can you get a map off him for us?
Like... No. The maps are online. Right. Like, I'm amazed that this is the thing. You've got to be looking this shit up. Like, I'm not buying a place in the future. I'm not going to buy a place in the flood plains of. Like round the. I live near the canal in Hackney, and I just feel like, well, that's gone.
Yeah.
Like, don't maybe go 100 yards back. I'm constantly looking for,
yeah.
You know, like the bits where, what do you call it, topography?
Yeah.
Like the bits that are higher
up. Higher ground.
I think, oh, Stamford Hill.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It's.
I think about things like that when I think about tsunamis, but I'm less worried about the 50 years time.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Floods. I mean, because I'm old, I'll be dead by then anyway.
I'll give you the things to worry about: floods, and the imminent water shortages. You want to? Listen, I've looked into buying an aquifer. Do you know about aquifers?
No.
Underwater lake or reservoirs of water, underground reservoirs of water. Right. So in the future, there are going to be war. Instead of it being oil, we're all going to be battling over water. And so, like 5 years ago, I first heard about this, and I thought, I'm just going to look into buying. Buying some bits of aquifers. I just wonder what that is.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like all of the world's billionaires have just like immediately bought them up.
Oh, really?
It is. It's happening.
But is there not a way? Will we not have developed an easy way then to convert like salt water into drinking water?
I mean, clearly not, because like these are clever people who are going. In fact, Kamala Harris recently referenced it. She was like, the wars that are now happening over oil. I'm such a fucking Debbie Downer guest.
I love it.
You're in the right place, mate.
Wars that are now happening over oil. Yeah. Just, you know, be prepared for those to be about water. It's fine. I've got like a six pack of Evian in my pantry, but still.
Kamala Harris got a very, very cool stepdaughter. Hasn't she? Kamala Harris is the vice president, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it all kind of went viral on inauguration day because her stepdaughter, who's like a really kind of almost Billie Eilish-esque, kind of dyed hair, cool young tattooed girl, kind of dressed a bit more smartly for inauguration, and then it was like showed all the articles showed her Instagram page, which is her just being super cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Very cool. Ryan, you've brought up some amazing stuff in this podcast. We're all going to die. But before we do, we ask one last question. How would you love to be remembered?
Can I just be honest? I don't fucking care. Like, I don't care. I read that phrase the other day. You die twice. The first time when you physically leave this plane and the second time when you...
forgotten.
The last time someone mentioned your name.
Right.
I think, move on. Like, he's had his innings and he made a lot of noise about it. Just like move on. I'm fine with that, really. I don't feel like everyone should be moping around about it.
Do you think you've been in loads of TV shows and stuff. Do you reckon in like 500 years, if there's still humans, we'll be watching like or researching TV shows and listening to music from now or anything like that? Do you reckon they'll just be like fuck that? I want to go in my spaceship and I don't know my VR experience. I don't know. Because we've not...
The greats. Yeah, the greats will still have a find
Beatles,
a way.
Obviously, everyone in the world knows who the Beatles are, pretty much. Actually, they don't. They're already dying out.
Until, in the next 50 years, huge allegations of racism come out with the Beatles, and then suddenly they're cancelled, and then they have to be...
But it was fine then.
It was fine.
Well, John Lennon's one of the few people who seems to get away with the fact that he was a terrible domestic abuser. He's kind of beaten cancellation.
Yeah, because he's beaten it for... I don't know about that.
He battered May Pang as well, didn't he? His girlfriend. But so
who Yoko Ono suggested he get with whilst they had their separation.
Yeah. Crazy. No, but I think they all did. Paul supposedly used to do a bit of that as well.
No.
Yeah.
Not to Linda, surely.
No, to
Heather Mills.
To Heather.
No.
Pushed her down the stairs.
That's libelous. No way. No, he didn't.
It's
push
not
her
a
down
podcast unless I say something libelous, though, is it?
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. It's been brilliant. Have you got anything? We plugged Brassic. Anything else you've been working on that you'd like to talk about or the audience to find out about?
No, leave them to it. You know.
Social media stuff where they can find you, any of that shit?
Honestly, I'm absolute dog shit on social media. I just think, get off social media. Like, I mean, obviously, follow Vom Cruise. It's really funny. Right.
Thank you very much.
I've done that, but then
well,
if you hadn't done
and we hadn't had a little chat, then, you know, I wouldn't have been able to blag you to come on here. So,
absolutely. That is correct.
I'm grateful to that.
That is correct. But just don't follow me on Instagram. I post absolute dog shit and I look like a prick on there. Like, I need to just clean it up.
Okay, definitely do not follow Ryan Sampson on Instagram. Do follow us at Pod It's Your Funeral. Vom Cruise, as Ryan mentioned, at Vom Cruise. And thank you so much for listening. We'll be back another time. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Cheers, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.